Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 4 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, and Warhammer 40,000 The Valentine Heresy, as well as 4 event podcasts with mini-series releases at staggered intervals: Curse Code and Crown, Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pot, get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back to Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, where improvisers who've never role-played before journey into the world of Dungeons and Dragons. I am the Grand Wizard Bukake, your host. Juniper faced a villain from across dimensions while her companions advanced to the final day of their Freaky Friday week. Quinny was forced back into the enemy camp as an infiltrator. Reginald became the adversary in search of a crystal, and Juniper lost her squire when she came face to face with Xanthus. Can Quinny and Reginald find a way to connect, and can Juniper survive battling a demon Bucky? Find out next on Dumb Dumbs and Dragons.
Tyler, Quinny as Reginald has taken a short rest, spending most of the night talking to real Reginald in your Quinny body, meeting Mickey, and kind of getting the lay of the land. Took up a lot of that. But also, I think for someone who was in prison for twice and on a creepy pirate ship aboard an undead whale, knowing that you're in a room full of enemies and backstabbers isn't exactly like... I think the first night it was like, okay, I can probably sleep because this seems fine. Now that all this is happening, like... It sleeping doesn't feel like a thing you can do.
Yeah.
So you're a little bagged, but also... anytime you almost nod it off, you could see Kira just staring at you. you don't want those mess fists ruining you, so no. you stayed awake.
Making a mess of me.
So the day of the fated sundown, but also seemingly of the ritual has arrived. What do you think you do during this spell? You know that Reginald as Quinny is off trying to locate the crystal and kind of disrupt things. You've set all the things in motion with Declan, but weirdly, you kind of have a calm before the storm moment where, yeah, like, you're that episode right before the battle for Winterfell where you're like, cool, I guess I can just tell stories. What do you think you would do in your downtime, such as it is? Maybe keep in mind you have Mickey now as well. As
I was going to say, yeah, maybe some sabotage.
Mm. Okay, what kind of sabotage do you think you'd want to do? Is it misinformation or is it physical?
I think it's physical. At least that's the first thing that comes to mind for me, is a specific thing I want to try.
Mm-hmm.
Rats can get into tight places, you know, tighter than their bodies would suggest. They mm-hmm. can really kind of flatten themselves and squeeze and stuff like that. So I would go over with Mickey to gauge his comfort on sliding him into the locked up casket. And nibbling through that ivy drip.
Oh, badass. Mickey's like, hey, you know, honestly, I've chewed through some wires. Unpleasant experience. Sounds better to me. Yeah, cool. Let's do it. Although, I got to warn you, if they're using that to keep them sedated, that's probably going to knock me right the fuck out. So you got to promise to get me out of there later, huh?
That's a good point. That's a good point, actually. Can I get you out of there? Yeah, it should be okay. I mean, they'll definitely be focusing on the mage, and the mage will... I don't know how powerful he is. I mean, if he can open portals, he must be pretty powerful. He can blast his way out.
Well, also, look, I'm not planning on drinking too much of this stuff. Just imagine chewing through, I might get a contact high and get knocked out. So I'll try and get back up on my four little feet here as fast as I can.
Yeah. Look, if I see you, I'll get you.
Yeah, no, I understand. Honestly, it's a big risk, but it's nice to be working on a proper heist again.
It's good to be working with an honest-to-God thief again.
Yeah, heard you'd gone kind of warlocky there for a bit, but glad to see it hasn't dulled your instinct none.
Oh, that's an ongoing thing. But it's good to get back to some of the basics.
All right, sounds good. Well, yeah, you feed me into that box, I'll get chewing.
Okay. Hide in one of my gauntlets. I'll put a hand over the casket.
Okay. That just clarifies this for me. Can you roll a sleight of hand check, please? I'll give you advantage because, unlike normally when you do sleight of hand and you have to be like nimble with your fingers, this is just using a gauntlet to hide everything that's happening.
Yeah. 11 was the higher of the two.
Okay. So you put your hand on it. Kira is definitely watching you though. So she starts to come over. The rest of the crew, I don't think cares. What do you say to Kira to try and distract her from Mickey slipping out of your gauntlet?
It's the next day?
Okay. Yes.
Good morning, Kira. I trust you're keeping your nose clean. And I'll like, very knowingly...
If steam could come out of her ears, it would. If steam could come out of her nose, it would. But it can't because her nose is shattered.
Yeah.
And she's just like, ha ha ha, that's very funny. You're a very funny guy. Reginald, I always liked that about you. You're very funny. And yes, my voice sounds like this now, thanks to you.
Well, I'm not the one who closed my eyes.
Okay, that is a valid point. You son of a whore.
Sleep with one eye open when you're in the Bone Crushers, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's why No-Eyed Perry got it so bad.
Yeah, No-Eyed Perry. That guy.
Yep. May he rest in pieces, quite literally. Anyway, from the sounds of things, there might be some problems coming our way today. So whatever this situation is going on between you and me, what do you say we give it a rest until we sort out these invaders?
You know what, Kira? That's very big of you. And I'll step around the casket, extend the hand that... Mickey's not in for the handshake, and have my other hand resting on top of the casket.
Okay, amazing. So you feel Mickey slide out, and kind of, I think you kind of dart your eyes over just to make sure that this is correct, like what you're feeling. Mm-hmm. Just as you grasp Kira's arm in like classic like soldier grasp, I think almost absentmindedly, you kind of mutter a, like, keep it sexy, because you've gotten used to, like, having now had to clasp arms with a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And you just hear her say, yeah, sexy. And then she burns a key point to flurry of blows your head while she holds your arm. What is your AC, sir?
19.
All right. So she hits with... 3 of the 4. That is 22 points of damage as she just begins, like, literally one hand. It's just 1-inch punches. Flurry of blows. And everyone around is like, ooh, alpha fight, alpha fight. Junpei is like, an alpha fight. Oh, man. Thank you for finding a way for that stupid joke to pay off, because God knows it didn't the first four times. That's on me. That was a me introduction. I'm glad you... thank you for polishing the turd I left in episode
the
two.
The trick is to just refuse to let it die until it's funny.
My man. All right, and Tyler, if you could also roll initiative for me there, bud, that'd be great.
Nat 20.
Whoo! Okay, great. So you are, of course, up. And you rolled a nat 20, so I'm going to give you... You can either have advantage, or you can have an extra action.
Let's do extra action. I'll start with a blood curse.
Mm.
And I can amplify these. Is that with by bleeding, by spending,
yes.
By damaging myself?
I mean, yes, you just did just get punched in the face a bunch, so you're a little bit bloody. I feel like it's kind of a Nelson Muntz, like, you made me bleed my own blood. Yeah. Nobody makes me bleed my own blood kind of thing.
Yeah, she put the work in, but okay. You will have to roll a D8. Okay. Because you take additional damage during amplification.
Okay. So I'll use Blood Curse of Bloated Agony. As a bonus action, I curse a creature that I can see within 30 feet of me to painfully swell until the end of my next turn. For the duration of this curse, the creature has disadvantage on strength and dexterity ability checks and suffers 1d8 necrotic damage if it makes more than one melee or ranged attack during its turn, which I'm hoping will happen with this monk.
A monk? More than one attack? In this economy?
Yeah. So amplifying that means it actually stays on for one full minute, not until the end of the turn.
D8.
So I take, that's kind of shitty. I take a full 8 points of damage.
I mean... So taking the damage sucks, but like that amount of punchiness is fucking rad.
Yeah. So that's my one bonus action, but I have what you've given me is two attack actions, right? Or sorry, you've given me two actions.
I've given you two actions. You can use that however you see fit.
Okay. The first one is going to be, I'm not going to let go. I'm going to, bring her in and try and wrap. So I've got one forearm held against me. I want to grab her with the other, wrap my arm around her back and grapple her.
Oh, so damn.
A grapple is, I think, competing strength checks.
It is,
she's
yes.
at
yes.
disadvantage because she's bloated.
Yes.
So she, I didn't narrate this because I was looking at a stat block. As you cast the curse of it's bloating and what?
Bloating. She swells. Yeah. Curse of bloated agony. Yeah.
This is why I keep Tums on me at all times, because this is bad news. So for someone who is, like, again, she's scary jacked. But there's something I think particularly horrifying for someone who has, like, that Bruce Lee level of muscle where she's just... Like, we've talked about this metaphor before, but, like, basically just, like, an elastic band. Like, every time she punches, it's just, like, the entire weight of her body goes. So yeah. As she starts to bloat, there's something incredibly sickening because it's, like, the muscles themselves begin to kind of, like, contort. You just hear her kind of go, ugh! And her nose bloats and pops back out in a sort of splash of gore.
Yeah.
Her lips curl back. This is an unfathomable feeling, because she doesn't eat as badly as I do, and that's on her. Okay, great. So you are attempting to grapple, opposed strength check. I have disadvantage.
Yes.
Let's dance.
I got a 15.
Ugh. I got a 10.
Okay. I'm going to then... So I've got her.
Yep.
So I'm going to use my attack action to suplex her. And this iron coffin is behind me.
Sometimes theater of the mind just syncs up across all of our minds perfectly in the same way at the same time. And the minute you're like, I grab her, so I've got her, I was like, oh. Someone learned from a Minotaur. I get it. All right. Take her to Suplex City, baby.
How do you want that to factor in rules wise? I'm assuming D20 plus strength. Do you want proficiency?
I don't feel like you're a grappler by nature.
Yeah, no.
So
not proficient
no.
with unarmed.
This so, is
I already have her. So is yep. it just is it an automatic hit, or is she still get a chance to stop me
from this is less about AC and more about the difficulty of lifting right, someone who's okay. just entirely made of muscle and is now bloating up yeah. over your head and around. Okay. So it won't be against her AC, it'll be against a DC in my head.
Okay. And so it's not athletics, it's just D20 and my strength. Because I'm not proficient in grappling. Like,
I would give you athletics on this, because this isn't really okay. an attack. This is just lifting a log. okay. And I will... yeah, let's just make it straight athletics. I think okay. that's easiest.
That is a 17.
That'll do. You can describe this. It's your party.
Yeah, we're face to face, both of us with like bloody noses, just, and I think we're both just screaming.
Squinting,
both,
yeah,
like, yay! And yeah, as the world flips around us, because all we see is each other, in our peripheral vision, the ceiling becomes the floor, and the floor becomes the ceiling, and then the floor once again, as I suplex her onto the iron coffin behind me.
Damn. Okay, I'm going to say go ahead and do your standard weapon damage as though you hit her with a sword.
The sword is...
Or the Warhammer. Sorry, the Warhammer is your standard. But subtract, obviously, the fire and the just okay. the, give me the base.
Well, I'm holding her two-handed, so I'm going to yeah, roll a d10.
Please do. No, 100%. Yes.
That is 9 damage plus my strength. Or do you just want the D10?
Yeah, plus your strength would be great.
9 plus 4, so 13 damage.
13 damage. All right, very good.
Coffin damage.
Oh! I'm going to say she is stunned, because getting suplexed into a giant mage-proof metal box isn't great. So you smash her into the box. You definitely hear a cracking of a couple vertebrae. And as you release her, she falls backward off the box. There's a roar from the crowd. Everyone just starts chanting like, Reginald, Reginald, Reginald. Quinny, can you live with this many people cheering for the guy who did nothing? Or would you just by instinct correct them?
I think it's white noise.
Oh, fair enough. Okay.
I think he's part terrified, yep. part just like typical vindictive dickhead Quinny, was like, I really just don't like Kira. Like, like this is, that part is easy. Just like, keep up the ruse, keep up the ruse, keep up the ruse. Like, what do I do next? What happens next? What happens next? So my second action was to attack, and I get 2 attacks. So I'll give her a kick to the ribs.
I will also say, based on what you've been told by Reginald, these things are usually to the death. So if you want to whip out a weapon, no one's going to begrudge you that. I don't know if Quinny would do that, but just for your...
I think that's something that like Quinny up to this point has been wrestling with. I think what happens next will determine if he needs to take it further.
Understood.
I think for now it's unarmed attack, especially to a monk. I feel like Quinny would be like... beating you at your own game.
This tracks. Yes, yeah. This is you are wise.
Yeah.
Okay. So stunned creature. She can't move. She automatically fails strength and dex saves, and you have advantage against her.
Okay. So I'm just rolling to attack with a kick.
Technically, you'd get 2 kicks.
I think the first attack was the suplex. So the second attack is the kick.
No, but you get 2 attacks per attack action.
Those are my 2 attacks.
Oh, so this is just 1 action?
I believe the grapple was the first action.
Yeah,
second
yeah.
Action.
Initiating a grapple was 1 action. Yeah,
got
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So that was 15 on the die, and we said just strength. So that's another 4, 19.
Great. Yep. You hit.
And what are you looking for damage? You want a D6 or a D4 for a kick?
Normally it'd be a D4 from an unarmed attack, but Reginald wears heavy armor, right?
Yeah, he's plate, in full plate.
You got like fucking plate boots. So yeah, you're kicking her with a metal boot. Like it's steel-toed boots.
Okay. What do you want me to do D6 then?
Yes, sorry, D6. Okay. D6 plus your strength, please.
plus strength, so that's 5, and then another 4, so 9 damage.
9 damage.
This is a weird thing, but he is proficient in heavy armor.
I don't think you add your proficiency bonus to damage, do you?
No, you don't. Would have been cool, though.
It would have, yes, I agree. And I'll take that is why I bumped it up to a d6, but yes.
I'll take a few steps back and kind of showboat to the rest of the Bone Crushers, but I'll basically assume like a battle-ready stance a few steps, like several paces away from Kira, and let her get up to her feet and decide if she wants to walk away, which I feel like does more damage to her reputation.
Oh yeah, this is kind of a done deal.
And if she wants to like get up and keep fighting, then I will start really trying to hurt her.
This is I'm gonna give you a point of inspiration for showboating, as well as the style of like suplexing her. This is a very bloodthirsty mob, and you played. Like, you damaged her, but also in a way that was, like, engaging and entertaining. Hmm. So they're pretty jazzed about it. Okay, excellent. So that brings us to Kira's turn. I know you just told me this. What are the rules on the bloat?
So strength and dexterity ability checks, she has disadvantage. Mm-hmm. If she suffers 1d8 necrotic damage if she makes more than one melee or ranged attack during her turn.
Okay. And it lasts a full minute?
It lasts a full minute. There doesn't appear to be any recovery.
That's totally fine. So she's stunned. So she actually can't get up yet. She's like struggling to move. With that in mind, is your intent to let her make the decision when she's up? Like, would you give her another full round where you're just kind of standing by, or would you keep wailing on her?
Quinny would read the crowd at this point. Like,
oh, the crowd is like, we want to see one of these people go down hard.
Okay, so then Quinny takes the opportunity and like walks over to her, and he'll like grab a leg and just kind of swing and throw her kind of somewhere. Like I feel like the suplex is the peak of his like physical brawling ability, and even then it was just grabbing someone and falling backwards. So Quinny's not like a hand-to-hand fighter either. Yeah. So it's just like, I'm big now, so I'm going to grab you and throw you.
Okay, go ahead and roll an athletics check, please. This is for full-on Hagar from Final Fight. Spin, throw.
Oh, Tom, at the end of each of her turns, she can take a constitution saving throw DC 16. If she passes that, the curse ends.
Okay.
It's okay. That's my job to know these rules, Tyler, not you.
You said that was athletics or just straight strength?
Yes, sir.
Athletics, so that's 15.
15? Okay, yep, that'll do because you're not against her AC.
Okay, so I throw her.
She flies through the air, hits the ground. It's more embarrassing than painful. She'll take 4. And the crowd gives you a full-on, like, ooh.
Yeah.
You just hear her mutter, I've always hated you, Reginald. You coward.
That's funny. I haven't really given you a second thought.
My feelings! At which point we cut to Reginald. Ryan, so you currently... We left you having
fucking
just fucked with the gnomes.
Hartley or whatever,
You're fucking off back to Reunities or the pig pen?
Basically wherever he could find his gnomes, because he sent them to find people if they thought anybody.
They went straight to the bar. Yeah. You burst in the door and everyone's like, Reginald, including all the orphans are like, Reginald. You can see that they're doing a full on like, NPCs in a video game where people investigate, where just like, they're all wandering around looking at different things, thinking very deep thoughts. So you have your entire urchin crew looking around the bar. I'm going to say you get 3 based on just the compressed time frame. You can speak to 3 of them and or 3 people in the bar before you have to essentially in classic Phoenix Wright fashion, object and point at someone and be like that one.
Cool. I'll go to Lyndon. No, I will go to Dice first, because Dice is like, if Lyndon is my A grade, then Dice is a B, and I don't want to waste my A question at the gate. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to Dice and say,
a janitor Jerome here, and are either of them acting suspiciously?
Oh, I love your cool new voice. Should I do it too?
No, just me. I'm the adversary.
Oh, that's very cool. Okay, Mr. the Adversary Brown Barrow. No one's seen Jerome. I heard he got in some trouble down at the docks, though. Janet, she's still here. She's a little agitated, though.
Interesting. I'm gonna go check in with the lookouts.
And then I'll go across to the lookouts because they seem like they'd be the ones who look around the most.
Mm-hmm.
And be like,
who seems like the most likely suspect?
You realize immediately that you have erred greatly, because it seems that each of them thinks that someone else is the right one. So they are guessing that it's either Dahlia or her brother. They're like, servers are always suspicious, and they seem like they work here all the time. But one of them is more suspicious than the other one. And then they just argue circularly about which one is more suspicious.
Okay, thanks.
And then I'm going to go back to Lyndon and be like,
right now, I'm leaning towards Janet. Unless you've got something that changes my mind. Also call me the adversary.
Because I'm still wearing the mask.
And Lyndon turns to you, and she is glassy-eyed drunk. She's sitting at the bar. She's like, okay, hey, what's up, Mr. Adversary? Okay, so listen. And she kind of like falls forward. Can you roll an insight check, please?
Yes.
That had a lot of watered down ale.
Four.
She is shit-faced. And so you kind of back off, and she kind of sways back on her bar stool. She's just like, man, Welfare over here. We've been having some drinks. It's very fun. So who's the most suspicious? I don't know. What do you... You know, Wilfred, who do you think is the most suspicious? Can you roll a perception check, please? I'm only giving you two chances on this.
Let me see if I can help you. I think it's pretty straightforward, though.
Do you know what? I'm going to use my inspiration on this.
Hmm.
I rolled a 4 and a fucking 2.
Eight. So close to being lucky. 8. You're still looking at her, and she's just like all over the map. So unfortunately, you gain no new information from her. You're not picking up what she's putting down.
You do have the Medallion of Thought if you want to try and read a drunk person's thoughts.
Oh, that's right.
I want to slap the medallion onto Wilfred, and I want to read that motherfucker's mind to see if he drugged my friend.
You slap the medallion onto him, and as you do, you hear the Cheers theme blaring at full volume on a nonstop loop, because that's really kind of all he lives for. But under that, you hear a distinct sound of him just being like, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck. Oh, no, 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 no. Don't point at old Wilfred.
You can probe deeper.
I need to probe deeper.
They have a wisdom save, which hopefully being drunk goes in your favor.
I got an 11.
So if they fail, you gain insight into their reasoning, their emotional state, but they know that you're in there now.
I'm fine with that.
The adversary is coming for you.
I just yell as I dive deeper into his mind.
Yeah, his eyes go wide, IRL, and you can't see this because you're diving through his mind, but Lyndon, like, immediately sobers up. She's still drunk, but, like, she kind of, like, looks to you and looks to him, and she's like, I knew he'd get it. You see Janet slipping him the crystal. And it would seem they've been passing it back and forth quite a bit. But the plan was that he would be the least likely person to have it because literally everyone knows his name.
Is it on him right now? Like, did
sure
I see where he's keeping it?
It's in his breast pocket.
I take that fucking crystal, but I do it sneakily. I wanna like pat him down. Really
roll a sleight of hand, like, please.
The adversary knows.
I want him to still think he has it, so I'd like to trade it for like an equal amount of coins if I can.
Okay.
Hello, everyone. This is Tyler Hewitt, just coming at you with a little special offer for you. You know, if you're a fan of what we're doing here on the show, then we have, to borrow a phrase from Jerry Holkins, a patron-oriented experience tailored just for you. If you go to
patreon.com/dumbdumbdice,
you can sign up and get a bunch of special features that we're not really going to make available to anyone else, so do that now. Well, not right now, but, you know.
That is 27.
All right, so you slip it, you slip the coins into his pocket, you take the crystal, and then I think you manage to, like, slip his ID out of his pocket, and you look at it, and you look at him, and then you just nod and hand it back. And, Lyndon, picking up what you're putting down, is like, he's the liquor inspector. He's from the adversary of having fun. And Wolford's like, he's clearly like a very old man. He's like, he's just Wolford Brimley. he's like,
I'd like to talk to you about diabetes.
No, I'd like to talk to you about observing the rules here in this fine bar establishment. You're checking my ID is you're right, Mr. Adversary. You didn't have to be all spooky about it. Listen, feel the burrowing around in my old noggin. Did you see anything in there you didn't like? Well, I mostly think about the Cheers theme from that local play that I've styled my life after.
The music was loud, but appropriate. Come, Brown Barrows, we flee.
And
Lyndon just falls forward off the stool.
I'll carry Lyndon.
Like, she did her job, but she is also still trashed. So you throw her over your shoulder, and as you start to book it out, Dahlia's like, gosh golly gee, I think he's got it.
All right. So when I'm outside, I want to take the gang to the sty immediately. And then I'm like, all right, I don't have to do this. And he takes the mask off.
So my name is Quinny Brown Barrow, is what I've told you all. But it's time to share an uncomfortable truth. This is Quinny Brown Barrow's body, but I'm actually Reginald Tingler from another dimension, trapped in Quinny's body.
And Lyndon's eyes go wide. She points at you and she's like, oh my God, guys, he's not actually Reginald. He's Quinny from another dimension. And then she just falls over in some mud.
You guys can explain this to her later. It's a Freaky Friday thing. But here's what's
there's like a course of oh, Freaky Friday. Oh, okay, yeah.
Immediately understand.
Everyone knows, yeah.
So I'm not Quinny Brown Barrow, but there are things that are real. I gave you the name Brown Barrow, and that's still yours. And we did these heists together, and you're still a crew. And when I get back in my own body, I'll still be your friend. Maybe Quinny won't be. He said he'd break all your hearts, but I know you have the real hearts of thieves. And I know that you can be friends together. And one thing I want to see is that you're rewarded for this heist. I know what our split was. 50-50. And I'm going to give you even more.
And he's going to take 60,000 gold out of the bag of holding. And he's going to pay them that as their share. Like, it's just going to come out. He's like trading Quinny's physical backpack. So it's just full of gold and all of Quinny's shit goes in the bag of holding so he can keep it.
Yep.
And he's like, you can't sell this crap. This thing's designed to torture wizards to make them live longer while doing evil things.
Oh, that's bad.
This crystal I sort of need for a distraction, so I'm going to keep this one. But here's your job. I need you to take this stupid spiky stabby brain thing into the woods and destroy it. And then I need you to hide so you don't die when the bone crushers come out here. You just run.
Okay, Mr. Tingler.
Yes.
All right. Well, we may be the Brown Barrows, because that's the name you gave us, but I just want you to know that, Mr. Tingler, you're our best friend. Now, come on, kids. We got some shit to wreck. And then they just hand it to Dice, and they're like, hey, Dice, carry this real carefully. It's breakable. And he's like, but I thought, oh, I mean, okay. And then he immediately, like, trips and dents it against the sty wall, and he's like, oh, no! And together, the artists formerly known as the Urchins, now known as the Brown Barrows, friends to Reginald Tingler, head off into the woods to ruin some truly arcane shit. Meanwhile, Juniper, you are facing down against the demonic image of Bucky, known apparently now as Bucarius, who has massive demonic wings, huge horns, has really come into his own as a dragon guy, and has just ripped the head off your squire and bitten a chunk off of it.
I just appeal to whatever, I want to say humanity, dragonbornity is left in him. And I'm kind of backing up a little bit away from him too, mm-hmm, as I say mm-hmm. this. But Bucky, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I saw this as a possibility and I was caught up in my own stuff and I didn't do anything. And look, Tiamat is leading you to bad shit, and so is Xanthus, and they're not good for you, and this isn't who you are.
Laura, you're going to want to roll me a very important persuasion check. Good thing we had all those classic scenes with Juniper and Bucky where they were the best of pals, right?
I know, right?
Right?
Yeah. 20 total.
Damn, that's a very good roll that has exactly zero effect. As Bucky...
Don't do this to me, Tom!
As Bucarius steps forward, he's like, oh, hey, wow, that's a really good speech. I'd be super, super convinced, and really, I think it would really affect me a lot if I knew who the fuck you were or cared. And then he takes three rapid slashes with his sword.
Juniper, what's your AC? I will react with unsettling visage, so I flash into my shape changer form and flash back.
Give him the old
It'll give him Busey. Disadvantage on attack rolls. So.
Okay, sounds good.
No, my AC is 21.
Okay.
Damn.
One moment, please. Mm-hmm. These are some important roles, so I just want to make sure I'm not fucking them up. It's for your benefit more than mine. Okay.
Yep. So thanks.
Imagine biting a guy's head off thinking you're like the biggest, baddest monster in the room, and you're about to take a swing at this paladin, and she shows you this monstrous face.
And you're like,
you off your game.
Yeah, 100%. It's like, oh. Yeah. Oh, geez. I kind of thought I was the baddest in the room.
I made a pretty cool impression, so I guess I'm going to kill you now. Oh, boy, that's actually kind of fucked up.
That's all the things he says. Okay.
Jake Busey.
So he hits. With three of the four attacks.
Fuck.
Or I'm sorry, two of the three attacks.
Okay.
Two of the three attacks. Just gotta do some math. I unfortunately have a distinct lack of dice, so it's gonna be a little bit of rolling here.
Never bodes well when he has a lot of rolling to do.
Just no, it's true.
Say abstractly.
It's not the best. Not the best. Oh, yikes. Okay, and what does it get? Plus 12. Okay, so from the slashes, Laura, you're going to take 49 points of damage from the hits with the blade, and then...
Oh, no.
Take... Eighteen points of acid.
It's one of those acid okay. swords.
You are struck soundly by these blows and forced back. This kind of monstrously towering Bucky is a far cry from your dear friend, and it would seem hell really It really did a number on him. It is now your turn.
I think
body slumps over nearby.
Yeah. I have to yell out to Xanthus, just like, look, it's my duty to see this collide through. However it goes, look, I've traveled from Eberron, and I've been led to you, so this can't have been for nothing. I'm not supposed to die now, and I misty step to Avalon as a bonus action, and I'm, like, ready to, like, try to put my hands on it. I don't know what the fuck I'm supposed to do, but... Yep.
Fair enough. Xanthus, as Bukharis continues to, like, stalk towards you with the blade out, and sort of a horrific sulfur smoke beginning to billow out of his nostrils, Xanthus kind of pauses and says, Juniper, hey, why did you apologize to Bukharis over here? Did you know him as Bucky in your world?
Yeah. I say, still having an action.
And he just kind of nods for a minute and he says, hey, how do you feel about Moonhammer?
I mean, I've heard of her. I know that people went to hell to get her. She was in hell, queen of hell.
He just growls and he's like, motherfucker, you're one of them? Oh, Juniper, I'm sorry. I might have let you go before, but... Oh, yeah, those guys really... we've got some history with them. Cool, well, look, you look like you've got some business with Avalon there. Why don't you go ahead?
Laura, I don't know. Do? I just put my hands on him and think of Quinny. I don't know.
His skin is cold and clammy to the touch. He's clearly been dead for some time, but there's something keeping the head... somewhat powered in a vaguely wild, wild westy way. you think of Quinny holding the head, and you just hear Xanthus say, aw, that's nice. And then you feel the sword hit you again. We cut back to Tyler. You are in the middle of fisticuffs. Who knew Laura would get a boss fight from this adventure too?
No, I'm gonna die.
Sorry. Look, you've got lots of shit. We've seen you busted out. I have the utmost faith in you, Tyler. Yeah. She's just yelled to the sky about her feelings, and then is attempting to get up. She's shaken off the stunned, so she kind of struggles to her feet, and she says,
"Now I will show you the way of the Blood Fist!"
She does a running, but, like, still bloated, so, like, it's kind of awkward and stumbly because she's not used to being like that. And then she jumps and does a full-on Johnny Cage jumping kick. She goes, "Foot first, then fist!" At you. What is your AC right now, sir?
19,
okay. Let's see what happens with this. This is such a dumb power, but I kind of want it to work out. I'm sorry, 19?
Yeah.
Ah, she misses. As her foot ignites in flame, it just hits your chest. She kind of like, there's a squingy noise as the bloat that has reached her feet hits you. And she's like, die! Ah, shit. And then she throws out a couple of strikes, which means... the bloat effect kicks in. So what is the bloat damage?
1d8 necrotic damage if she makes more than one melee or ranged attack.
Yeah, she's making two close range pow-pows.
So from that language, I assume it's just rolling the 1d8 once. It's not for each extra attack.
Yeah, that's what we'd agreed on.
Yep.
That's 7 necrotic damage, which is pretty good.
Yep. Yeah, not bad at all. So she begins just like throwing punches as fast as she can. She's going to use a power called Fury of the Five Spires, which is 5 unarmed strikes against one target.
Whoa.
So let's see how that goes. Okay, so that's 1, that's 2, She only hits with 3, so, you know, not the worst, not the worst. And those are going to be... so that's going to be... Sorry, one moment. Okay, so that's 33 points of damage from the punches.
She hits hard.
And then I'm going to need you to make a constitution save, please, with +1 for every attack that hit. It's a pretty low DC. It's DC 13.
I do 12. Is it, wait, saving throw constitution is that a 6? Yeah. No, that makes it. That's 13.
The final punch hits you right in the temple, and for a minute you see stars, and your vision blurs. You're almost knocked unconscious, but then you manage to kind of blink it off and kind of you stumble away, holding your head a little bit wrestler style, doing a lot of like weird duck weave circle walking.
Okay.
And you see her kind of like doing the Jackie Chan "Ow, I hurt my hand" thing. And you get the sense that her power has not recharged. So that's nice.
Yeah.
Bringing us to you, sir. You stumbled away a bit. You can hear shouts from outside and the sound of horns kind of going up throughout the village, like a which we, the audience, know is signaling the attack of the Lord's Alliance and the Harpers, but that you only hear is weird things that you weren't expecting. That said, you've got a Kira-shaped problem to deal with first. What do you do?
So this is getting serious. So I'm going to reach into my, what is it, like a pack where you keep your gems, a pouch, Ryan?
Yeah, it's a pouch.
Yeah. Reach into the pouch and I grab, and you've only got 2 in there. The 2
technically, it's been a few days, so I think we could say that there's just all 6. I would say you could probably look at them and go, these ones look scary and violent, and these ones look soft. Or that's should awesome. He roll a d6, Tom?
I want to roll a d6, honestly.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's do that.
Okay.
Because you have to enchant the gems before you use them, right, Ryan?
You're supposed to enchant 2 every day, but okay. He wouldn't do that.
No, so. I was going to say, I think he does, but it's a matter of Quinny, like, when he's resting, looking at me like, you better get powerful, and then putting it in the bag.
So, 3. That's perfect, baby. Reconstruction. I'm on the mend.
Damn, all right.
Okay, so Quinny, for 1 hour... At the start of each of your turns, you regain 4 hit points if you are below half your hit points. It will not boost you above the halfway mark. You also lose 10 feet of speed per turn. So you go from 35 feet to 25 feet because it slows you down using your energy.
Our precious hexes.
Are you under half strength, Tyler, in HP?
Cool. Which is why I was like, oh gosh, that's perfect. Because I started reading it.
Otherwise, you just took a drug that makes you slower.
awesome. That's good to know.
I like it.
So I'm going to unsling the Moonhammer and take a swing at Kira here. Because she's had enough of me. And I've had enough of her. So... that is 26 to hit.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Okay. Rolling. Where's my D10? There we go. D10. That's a good number. 7 plus 4, 11. And then 2d6, 4 fire damage.
Okay, great.
And I'm going to attack again. This one is 25.
Yes, also hits.
Oh, I reroll ones on the damage when it's two-handed weapon. That's nice. So that is 10 from swinging the hammer plus fire damage here. Another 4 fire damage.
Okay, great. And sorry, how much from the hammer itself?
10.
10 and 10. Okay, great. I was going to say, like, 4 seems too light. She's looking real rough. She is not meant to be hit this much. Normally not in a bloat while doing this.
Good.
Yeah.
I wasn't paying attention. Did you swing twice?
I did.
Good. Good. Yes. Yes.
Finally, the apprentice has become the master.
Use Reginald's big boy rage.
So you just like bat her back and she stumbles back. Everyone's like, she, all of her reactions with this bloated state are like Power Ranger, like putty actions where everything's just a little extra exaggerated.
Okay.
But she's looking pretty rough, and everyone around is just like, oh shit, Reginald came to fucking party. He is keeping it sexy. You continue to advance on her. Meanwhile, Reginald, keeping it sexy elsewhere as Quinny. So you've sent the urchin brown barrows away.
Yes.
You have the crystal.
Yes.
What do you do?
I would like to, if possible, Tom, take a white sheet off of a clothesline and steal a horse. And my goal is to go out to the army that's going to attack the town, waving a white flag as big as possible to try to get them to talk to me.
Oh, shit. That is very cool. Let's do that. So you begin to ride, and it's full on. Actually, first of all, let's see if you can steal a sheet. Ryan, can you roll me a sleight of hand check?
Yes.
However will you do, I wonder. Tell me quando.
29.
To steal a sheet, you need 30. It's one of Guy Gax's rules. He was real serious about sheets.
Damn you, sheet!
So you grab the sheet immediately. The horse comes with it. You pull the sheet, there's just a horse directly behind it.
Yeah, exactly. And then I just spring on. It's like the Mario sound happens as I use his boots of striding and springing.
Yeah, it's just a very convenient twofer. So you boot the horse and you take off at a wild gallop. That said, there is something interesting that happens on this. I'm going to need an acrobatics check from you because you've never ridden a horse in a body this small. And you normally... As a big guy who
big guy tiny things. Donkey now little yeah. guy big donkey.
Well, and also yeah. you just kind of assume your body mass will keep you on horses. Maybe not now.
You're not in those stirrups, that's for sure.
25.
All right, so you're just doing the full jockey thing. You're just like, you're standing on the horse's back on top of the saddle, your butt in the air, holding onto the saddle, just like.
And I'm talking the horse through it. I'm like, We're gonna save this whole town. My name's Reginald Tingler. You're the coolest horse ever. We're gonna save so many people and be heroes.
Thanks, my name's Gallop McFuckshard.
Gallop McFuckshard, I'm gonna get you the fucking most honey-soaked oats that any horse has ever eaten.
That's amazing, because I'm a virgin and I'm kind of sensitive about it, hence my insanely intense name.
I'm gonna get really you like oats.
No, I just want the oats. I just want the oats.
You just continue to bounce awkwardly towards the army. Meanwhile, from the top of the tower, looking through the enhanced sight of his glass staff, Declan Albrecht sees a figure he can only assume to be the adversary, but in the air is the ultimate insult, galloping towards the Lord's Alliance, which admittedly it's not like the whole alliance is descending for this. It's just the local queen is sending her knights to come, like, finally arrest the triumvirate for, like, gross corruption, which they always kind of knew but couldn't really act on, and now they can act on it. So, like, in you go, knights.
And to be as Quinny as possible while riding, Reginald lowers Quinny's pants to show his butt and then flips off the wall behind him while he's waving the flag. Not knowing that Declan's seeing it, but he is.
Declan looks down at his vest and finds a patch for, like, an enemy that was particularly easy to dispatch. And rips it off and tosses it off the side in, like, a very dramatic, like, Metal Gear. It flutters out into the wind kind of way.
Yeah.
And she goes, that spot's for fucking you now, you full moon bastard. So he just kind of shrugs and mutters to himself, like, all right, then. I guess it's plan B. You approach the Lord's Alliance, out in front, you can see a knight who is Wearing what you would probably dub unnecessarily clean armor. Like, it's shiny enough that you could probably see your face in it. Like, white tabard, a symbol of a fleur-de-lis, very classic knight. She's riding kind of with her helmet up. She's a bit grizzled. Like, she's clearly, like, a combat vet who's seen a lot of shit. Looks a bit like Mindy Kaling if she'd, like, gone to war. She approaches, she's like, oh, hey, butt guy, what? Get out of the way.
Okay, I'll pull up my pants and then be like, Gallops, we can stop here. He stops.
Hey! Hello.
My name, and he takes the mask off because he doesn't want to look like an asshole to this lady. And he's like,
my name is Quinny Brownbarrow. I'm the adversary of the army inside here, but here's the deal. The city itself is innocent. It's just three bad lords and then a bunch of evil bastards in spiky armor inside the tower. I don't want to see any innocent people hurt. I can take you to the tower, just don't hurt the populace.
Yeah, we weren't going to do that. We know everyone here is fine. We've been keeping an eye on the lords for a bit. Ever since they took over that weird wizard's tower, it's been kind of a rough place here. Honestly, I just feel bad for them. We've been wanting to do this for years. No, we're not going to hurt anyone.
Okay, how many of you are there?
There are, we'll say, 30 knights.
And, okay, your armor's very clean. Do you guys have, like, any combat experience or anything like that?
I mean, yeah, I'm very good. They're pretty good.
Okay. The, like, 15 plus in there are, like, veterans of a 30-year war and probably the most violent, deadliest people you will ever meet.
Ew.
I would suggest waiting until you outnumber them more. But they're also bringing an army through.
Fuck that. Let's go kill those guys right now.
Okay, I'll go with you, but I'm going to pretend to be like another evil guy called the adversary. I'll try to keep him off balance so you can have as much advantage as you can, okay?
Okay, absolutely. And I swear on my honor as a knight, no harm will come to the civilians of this town. And she extends her hand.
I'll shake on that. All right. Yeah, great, great.
I'll shake the hand.
Good. And she kind of smiles and you kind of nod and the two of you shake hands the first of the buildings in the city explodes.
This episode of Dumb Dumbs and Dragons features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Laura Elizabeth at EL Hamstring on Twitter, and our fantastic DM Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and all of Dumb Dumbs and Dice's art is by Decapitated Markers, or at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are And Now for That Massive Coronary and Skipping Through the Orchestra Pit Part 1 by Peter Gresser, and our ad music is No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R, all available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. But most importantly, we've got merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice, or you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. And tune in next week for more Dum Dums and Dragons. Dumb Dumbs and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Manicola, Long Long, The Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Olin Anderson, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord Abradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Zekin X, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.